Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. Because of the hurricane, first of all, prayers to everyone in the state of Louisiana. I didn't have power for 7 days. It was really hot. Jace Lejeune joins me as our co-pilot today, our editor. It was really, really hot, Jace. But, you know, I'm fortunate. I had food. I had water. Got to think about a lot of stuff when you don't have electricity. Cut down a few trees in my yard like a lot of people. And look, prayers to everybody in the state. I mean, everybody was affected in some way. And everybody's tied together, even North Louisiana. I mean, it's people in Shreveport and Monroe have relatives here, you know, and same thing with Alexandria. And it seems like when we're not getting a storm or a freeze, they're getting it. So prayers to everybody. And we didn't have a show on Monday, but, you know, it was a holiday and the storm. Just got power, so I'm happy. Yeah.
That's great. That's good news.
Appreciative of that electricity. But we're going to have a great show today. We're going to recap LSU. And I do it non-emotionally because I go back, I let all the, I guess, the anger as our media. Yeah. We can be media fan. I grew up an LSU fan. I mean, I grew up in Baton Rouge, but I'm also a Louisiana fan. But I rewatched the game. So I'm going to give my perspective of where I think they are right now. Jace can throw his 2 cents out there.
Oh, yeah.
I watched Louisiana Tech play Jace. I watched Tulane. I watched ULL. Mm-hmm. I saw McNeese State get beat by a D2 team.
Yep.
I watched a lot of football this weekend, probably more than I've watched in a long time. And, you know, we can share all that. I didn't get a chance to go to a high school game for the first time in 27 years, week one. Just tending to, you know, house and things we had to do. I didn't have power, but I know that U High had a huge win over Central.
They did. It was very convincing.
Yeah, and I know Catholic High, you know,
Went
good.
To Maryland, took a trip to D.C.
Our Lady Council, they beat, who's ranked one of the top 25 programs in the country and made them look like not a top 25 program.
No, they ran away with it, pretty early. And another impressive victory was Mass and Prep defeating St. Thomas Moore.
I know. And I thought they were rebuilding around Chris and the big DN, but actually the young guys are stepping up at Mass and Prep. What a great job by Mass and Prep. I'm telling you, I'm happy for them. I mean, they're rolling. I mean, if you can beat St. Thomas Moore.
Oh, boy. Watch out. Watch out in 3A. That's all I got to say.
Man. And then we got hopefully a full slate. I really pray for all these teams in the Houma area, you know, Lafourche Parish, New Orleans, the River Parish has got hit hard, LaPlace, St. Tammany, Hammond. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some schools in Baton Rouge. I mean, Walker. I mean, look, prayers to everybody. I hope everybody can get to play this week. And obviously it might be at different high schools. Some are going to be different fields this week. Like Santa Ma, I think, is going to be playing Walker Saturday this week, which is kind of interesting.
At this point, I think these kids don't matter.
Just get to play.
Just get to play. I don't care if it's on a Saturday or a Sunday, whenever, as long as I get to play.
Louisiana strong, man. We're going to make it through this. I want to go ahead, before we get into LSU talk and the LSU-UCLA game and all the other college games, we're going to give a lot of plugs today for Tulane and Tech and ULL.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of stuff here that we saw. But I want to thank John Harvey Toyota, Jace. They do a great job. Tommy Harvey's a great guy, and they do a phenomenal job supporting high school football and us. Used cars or new cars, Harvey Autos has 3 dealerships. They've got everything from fuel-efficient compacts to luxury models, even hybrids, and certified pre-owned with a warranty. Check out John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, or Lexus of Shreveport-Bossier City. You can buy a vehicle anywhere in the state now because of the internet. Also, Treads and Care Tire Company, be sure to support them. They're locally owned. They got a beautiful location in Central, and that's the town of Central, on Hooper Road and Park Place Drive. Give them a call at 331-8144. They do tires, brakes, oil changes, alignment, air conditioning. They do diagnostics. They also do pickup and delivery. All major brands of tires. The owner's Devin Holly, who I've known for over 25 years. And also, when your body shop, you need to call a body shop. You need to call Medine's Collision. in Baton Rouge. Medin's does everything from paint jobs to body work on cars, trucks. They're locally owned. The Medin's family do a phenomenal job. Give them a call in Baton Rouge. They do phenomenal work. They've been around since the 1960s. The number to call is 357-7983. That's 357-7983. They're on Kincaid Avenue in Baton Rouge, Jace. Chris and Domenica Medin are the owners, and Jesse, their son, is the general manager. There's a lot of people that need work on their vehicles right now, especially after the storm and paint jobs, and also, you know, with Devin Holly, people might need tires and get their vehicles checked out, or new vehicles. Isn't that amazing? We've got three different advertisers. It's all about the vehicles.
It's all about those cars.
If you don't have your vehicle, man, you're in trouble, right?
I mean, right. And especially a good sponsor for you because, I mean, that's how you get around from all over the state to watch this game. Right. You can't go anywhere right. If you don't have a vehicle. So
you got
to
get your body repaired, your body of your truck or car, and you know, you got to get your paint jobs kept up, get your car looking good, or get new tires. It's never ending. I mean, they do hard work. And these are the people you need to call. We're going to start the show. And, Jace, I thought about this for 48 hours.
Yeah,
I listened to 2 days. Listened to everybody's LSU complaint. I'm not going to name who, but I listened to every media person. I'm not even an online guy. I will look to see what craziness I need to keep up with. And I looked at every website and every talk room, and I looked at everybody's opinion. And, man, there's some sharp cats in this town that are fans. We've got some great quarterback, armchair quarterback. And there's there's a lot of ex-players that do this or coaches. But, you know, you can spend 5,000 hours on this. Bottom line, LSU got out-coached.
Yeah, they got out-coached.
And I watched the game again, and I watched it in detail. No adjustments on offense, no adjustments on defense. Special teams, I don't think they brought what they could have, or even in the return game. Maybe a little conservative there with Palmer, who's phenomenal. You know, he's a 4.28 guy in the 40. He should be breaking some of these kickoff returns maybe. Maybe try to return them on a UCLA special teams, that's weak, I think. Here's the deal. Chip Kelly's a good coach.
No doubt.
He's a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have weaknesses, he's going to exploit them. Well, that's fine. But at halftime, you need to adjust because he's going to make it worse for you if you don't.
Well, you can tell who is one of the best play callers in the country, and you can also tell who is calling plays on defense for the first time since – he was calling plays for Division III schools. So, I mean, you can tell that on the field that Saturday night.
A lot of things can be fixed. Your dad's a coach. My dad was a coach. I've been around it my whole life. You can improve every game, from game one to game three to game five to game eight. What's really scary for LSU right now is that they can't run the ball, and they don't have any safeties ready to be, let's say, a Delpit. LSU's had five All-American safeties the last 20 years. Go back to Laron Landry, Craig Steltz, Brandon Taylor, Delpit. There's a couple others I'm not talking about, but they don't have that killer free safety to come up.
You know, they got to have those instincts if you want to play safety.
And they don't have a big tight end to block on the O-line, which is hurting them.
No, they don't.
For the edge. And I really want to say this. I'm a fan of Ty Price from Southern Lab. But one thing he doesn't have the burst to hit the hole.
No.
And so it makes the O-line look even a little worse, I believe. I don't like talking about any players. Actually, I think he's a great kid.
Yeah.
But he's not the guy to be the guy. And they need to find the guy. And hopefully it's Imani Goodwin and he gets back from being hurt.
Or Corey Kiner. Which I'm surprised they haven't really... You know, throwing him out there and see what he can do in the second half, to be honest with you.
But I think me and you were talking about this, and I tell you, I said, Jace, it wouldn't surprise me game day there's like 20 guys not playing. This is the third year in a row under Orgeron that all of a sudden just 20 players don't play.
Yeah, that week leading up, it was like, okay, we have about two or three players hurt. Okay, I mean, that's fine. And then, like pretty much like an hour before kickoff, that's when we hear about John Emery, and that's when we hear about Jared Small, and we hear about all these other players being out just like an hour before kickoff.
And you don't have a lot of your second, third team guys playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Goodwin didn't play. Yep.
Sony Finua, Sony Finua
didn't play. No.
Savion Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Jacoby and Guillory.
Yep.
I mean, these are the guys that we brag about how deep they are, right? I mean, if Savion Jones rotates in, right, and Jacoby and Guillory, they're not tired at the end of the game on defense.
I think that was my biggest surprise was how, like, against a run, how our defensive line didn't really play that well. I mean, I thought that was, considering how deep we are on the defensive line.
I think it's
line,
coaching.
Yeah, I thought that was my biggest surprise. I knew we would probably struggle a little bit in the run game with our offensive line, but, you know, the defensive line and how poor they played at times, that was my biggest
surprise.
Did they
forget to put guys in, or did these guys not – or they couldn't play and they were dressed out. It's confusing. Yeah. So,
guys just weren't coming off blocks. I mean,
You get a transfer linebacker from Clemson,
and did you see him out there one time?
Special teams.
Okay.
So, but he doesn't come in the game to pass, and his strength is pass coverage. And if you're getting taken to the woodshed by these big backs or these tight ends, you bring in Jones to see what he can do against those tight ends. Because, look, in fairness to Major Burns, it's his first start. And I don't think he's ready to be a starter as free safety. I just don't think he's ready yet. He might end up being a great player, which I think he will be, completely lost. And the new defense coordinator, his background is safeties.
Yep.
Our strong LSU strong safety and free safeties were not in position. Their technique was off. Jordan Toles, it's not their fault.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Ward left the game with a concussion or something early. I know he got hit. Yeah. I saw the hit. Yeah. He never came back. Well, then they brought in Toles to be the strong safety.
Yeah, he struggled a little bit.
But we have LSU's got the same problems they had in 2020 with free safeties not reading.
Mm-mm.
Your linebackers not being able to cover outside.
It's miscommunication, and that's something you can control. And that problem hasn't improved from last year.
Let's take a break. Come back. We're going to talk more LSU. We're going to talk about the other colleges too, because our show is not just going to be about LSU and that disappointing loss against UCLA. We'll be right back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. This whole segment two is going to be LSU. And then we're going to talk about Louisiana Tech, Tulane, ULL, all the state schools. We'll even throw out some national. I've got some great stuff about Louisiana guys that did great over the weekend for other colleges. Not down in it that they didn't go to LSU or stay in state, just we got to keep up with our own players.
LSU's going to only sign 25.
Right,
I mean, there's so many players in the state, so it's good for them to see them succeed.
I counted 7 drop passes. No one's really brought that up. 7 easy drop passes that could have made or broke that game. Now, remember the first half, Jace? They were driving.
Mm-hmm.
3rd and long, Butte drops a pass right in his hands.
Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
They would have been on the 20 UCLA.
Yeah, he went over the defender, was trying to catch. Yeah, I remember.
And he had
that.
The ball was right. And you should catch that.
Yeah.
If Butte catches that pass on 3rd down in the first half with less than a minute to go, LSU's on their 20, on the UCLA's 20, with an opportunity to have 17 points at half instead of 14.
That's why I thought that first half was really frustrating. Yeah, that first half was really frustrating because you can go into the half, and I could have seen LSU with an 11-point, 10-point lead at halftime because there are also some throws that Max did miss, like the one to Trey Palmer. Like, if he hits Palmer in stride, nobody was catching.
He didn't have time.
Yep.
But there were 7 drops, 2 on 3rd down. I'm just pointing out things that could have changed the game. They keep the ball longer. They score more points. It's like the old LSU, right? But you can't drop seven passes in a game if you're LSU.
Yep.
All right, that's something no one, has pointed out. That was a crucial. Even, let's face it, if LSU would have won this game by 7 points, Jace, would people be upset?
Winning helps a lot.
Right.
You know, winning does help a lot.
Not as upset.
But they're not obviously won't be as upset. But, yeah, there's going to be people talking about on Monday about stuff that could have happened, that could have extended their lead, like some drop passes, some missed throws. It looked like all night it seemed like the passing game was just like a split second off.
And here's another thing. Does LSU have a dominant defensive tackle?
No.
Out of all these great-looking D linemen, do they have a guy who breaks through the line and causes havoc and gets losses in the backfield?
No.
Against the run? I don't see it.
I don't see it. Now, I've seen a lot of really good potential. Like, I was pleased how Mason Smith played for his first time being out there as a freshman. And then our defensive ends, they made some plays. Andre made some plays, and Allie Gay made some plays.
But they're lost against the run.
Yeah.
It's like it's a pass rush only kind of unit.
Mm-hmm.
Up the field.
Yep.
And then Chip Kelly was like, okay, these safeties are not – they're not in position. Their technique's off. We're gonna roll these tight ends.
It just seems like any time you run a crossing route against this defense, it's going to hit for 30, 40 yards.
And the
safety's
got to know where the tight end is. That's who they got to cover the tight end.
How many receivers – like, how many catches were made by receivers that night? Think about it. Like, one, two?
LSU got beat by a quarterback that will not play in the NFL, and he's just a solid quarterback, mm-hmm. okay? He's a system guy.
He had, like, 9 completions for, like, 280 yards.
And look, the two running backs, I'm not taking anything away from Charbonnet.
No, I think Charbonnet
he's good. I watched him at Michigan. Yeah. You know, he's only been at UCLA for 3 months. He's a transfer.
Mm-hmm.
The other kid came in from another college.
Yep.
LSU got beat by an all-transfer team. 14 of their 22 starters were transfers.
Yeah, there were transfers. But another thing about this team, too, there are a lot of super seniors, there are a lot of seniors, there are a lot of veterans out there that played a while and went through the building process with Chip Kelly. And if you ask, like, a lot of UCLA fans, this was built for that moment, the last 4 or 5 years, them struggling and them coming together as a team. It's a really good veteran team that plays together, and sometimes that just beats a lot of raw talent on the field.
I think where people are unhappy, LSU fans, is that this is an experienced LSU team overall defensively. They're not happy with the defense. Offense always gets better as the season goes mm-hmm. on. But not having a run game, running for 1 yard at half against this UCLA team. Look, UCLA is not going to go 11-1 and play in the playoffs. It's not going to happen. Remember last year when Mississippi State beat LSU? I was like, oh, State's going to be like 10-2. No.
No. Same. Now they're going to be better than Mississippi State.
Right. But not they're not going to be – I think their cutoff's 9-3 in that conference. I really do.
Okay.
LSU made them look better than what they are.
And just over the years, you're just so used to seeing LSU being the physical team on both sides of football. They were out physical on both sides of football, and it wasn't even close. You thought watching the game, if you took the jerseys off, which one was the SEC team? You would have said, oh, UCLA was the SEC team, not LSU.
Whose fault is that? They're not ready to play. Whose fault?
Now, there were a lot of things going on. It was a hectic week. They had to relocate to Houston.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff going on. I'm not saying that as an excuse.
Yeah.
But a lot of that, I mean, does help. And UCLA had an extra game.
But LSU had film on them. LSU had film on them.
Yeah, but even though you have film on them, it's good to be out there playing game. You can make adjustments. Okay, we've seen it firsthand out on the field against competition, what we can do. So, you know, I talked to my dad the other day about this. Would you rather be the team that have that extra week to play, or would you be the team, you know, scouting them and watching them on films? Like, I would want to be out there playing and getting film on our guys and seeing what our guys can do. So, I mean, I think that actually helped UCLA.
But here's what I'm saying. You're coming off a 5-5 season.
Yeah.
You're not jacked up, ready to go prove people wrong. You're not coming off.
Which is what I thought LSU would do, and that surprised me
well. That's why people are upset.
Mm-hmm.
They're upset because you're supposed to come out there and prove to everybody that you're not a 5-5 team. You're not supposed to go out there like, oh, we're LSU, and we're just going to show up and beat an old UCLA team that's not, you know.
Now, I thought first quarter they did that. I thought they came out. The defense, first quarter, I mean, they looked pretty decent. Yeah.
I'm not blaming the players at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The adjustments happened with Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
He saw, you know, just like your dad would say, if my dad was alive and all the coaches that listen to the show, you give me one quarter to watch what you're going to run offense and defensively, and I'm going to see your weaknesses, a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go after it.
Right.
And that's what Chip did, and LSU didn't. It's not the players.
Yeah.
But I do think for Max Johnson to be effective, or Nussmeier, and even if Brennan would have played, Jace, Brennan probably would have got sacked more because he can't move.
Yeah, he can't move, and I think it would actually hurt LSU more if Brennan did play.
Yeah, he couldn't have moved.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have had time to throw the ball down the field.
Yeah, I don't blame this on Max one bit.
No, no. You know, actually, he didn't have a bad game.
He didn't have a bad game. I mean, he threw for 330 yards and 3 touchdowns.
He had 7 drops.
Mm-hmm.
2 on third down, driving.
Yeah. Now, were there some missed throws and, you know, rhythm? What, did he throw passes like a second or two later than he should have?
But Burrow's had some crazy run plays where he got almost knocked out, you know, mm-hmm. just like, whoa, get down, you know, or the ball flies in the air, but it happens. But guy's third start, I thought he looked really good. If he would have had time in a run game.
In a run game, yeah, that was the biggest thing.
So the final thing is the offensive line. Remember what I said on the show 4 weeks ago?
About UOL, Louisiana, having a better offensive line.
People gave me a lot of grief.
No, I agree with you. Heading to the season, like, on this offensive line, Lee, how many NFL prospects are there on this line? Is it just one?
One.
Ed Ingram?
One.
Ed Ingram's the only guy on that line that I can see playing in the NFL.
One.
Yeah, one. When you have your backup center at left tackle coming in and starting and playing, there's a lot of trouble.
Now, I will tell you this. I did see Charles Turner come in and do a good job.
He played hard. I mean, I'm not knocking him at all.
He came off the bench.
Yeah, he did play hard.
They also put in Dillinger, who looked good for a guy that's never played.
Yeah, they put him like on the play tackle, where he was like the tackle or like the extra blocking time. They just put him out there.
You play Dillinger more. He's got a lot of upside. I think Charles Turner looks better to me than even Cameron Wire right now.
Oh, okay.
And what I noticed with the O-line, the technique, they didn't move people at all.
No.
And Chasen Hines and Bradford still need to drop a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, that goes back to the coaches. You got to have this O-line physically ready to come on. And you watch Alabama play Miami.
Oh,
they're
boy.
Blowing people off the ball. And they're new. They're new guys.
Yeah, that's not an excuse of, like, having, oh, they're all they're
okay,
all new.
Alabama lost Alex Leatherwood, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And their center.
And their center, Landon Dickerson.
Two All-Americans.
Yep.
Did you notice?
No. No.
And did those young guys look like they needed more time to be good?
They look like Alabama looked like midseason form week one. It was insane to see how they were able to do it.
Well, it's not just Alabama. Look at the O-line Ole Miss last night.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss is blowing off the ball. I mean, they are moving people. They are taking names.
Mm-hmm. Their defense was fast and physical last night. It was a 360-degree turnaround than last year. But going back to LSU, Lee, what do you thought about the right guards? Because they switch every night. It was Chasen Hines, and it was Anthony Bradford, too, switching, like, a couple of plays every now and then.
I thought it was vanilla. When you watched UCLA run a delay draw handoff to Charbonnet, they would pull their linemen.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, those linemen got out there quick, and they didn't have anybody in front of them for 10 yards. Now, LSU did not pull.
That's another point.
They did not really – they did everything vanilla.
It seemed like they ran one running play, and they weren't really creative with the running plays.
How about a reverse
plays.
With Palmer or Butte? Just something to open it up.
It seemed like they were running the same play with TDP the entire game. So they weren't creative in their running game.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, And I know teams get better. They're going to beat McNeese. They're going to beat Western Michigan. I don't know about how much.
Yeah. Central Michigan, and then you got Mississippi State.
Mississippi State is where it gets a little interesting.
I think it depends on what adjustments they make in these next two games, what they do to help their problems out.
You know what our fans are going to say probably? Oh, State's no good. Wait a minute. They beat you last year. Leach is a phenomenal offensive genius.
Like,
okay, he is going to go after your weaknesses just like Chip
Kelly.
Last
year.
Well, yeah.
Yep.
Don't write down State as a win. Not right now.
To be honest with you, I don't want to write down any win in the SEC right now. Kentucky looked improved. Seemed like they got themselves a pretty good quarterback themselves.
He's good. He's got an arm.
Yeah, he's got a really good arm. I mean, Arkansas is going to be a tough nose, hard nose football team.
South Carolina played a trainer quarterback.
Yeah, GA. They played a GA quarterback. He looked pretty good.
They ran for more yards than LSU.
Yeah. I think so did everybody else in the country, it seemed like.
There's too much talent on this offense for LSU. Mm-hmm. There's too much talent on the D-line, and there's a lot of great raw talent at linebacker. Your corners are great.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that was upset with Stingley, I don't understand it. Go watch the game again. He had one bad tackle.
Yeah, he had, at the very end.
I mean, he –
There were two plays, but, like, besides, Stingley played well. I
him
mean, that's
and Ricks.
Not, yeah.
They
him
weren't,
and Ricks.
That wasn't the problem. The safeties were the ones mm-hmm. that got
right. They exploited. Chip Kelly exploited their weaknesses, which was the safeties. I felt like the linebackers.
Damone Clark had 14 tackles, and he actually, if you watch the game, he had his best game. I didn't say it was a great game, but 14 tackles.
He had a nice play on DTR on the tackle when he was trying to get the first down.
But it's not they were out of position. The technique was bad. Like Tyrann Mathieu said, their technique on the whole team was just off, and that's not the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And. You know, I want LSU to do well. I hope they got a chance to go 2-1 in the next 3 weeks.
Yep.
If they beat State, they could be 3-1, right?
Yep. Then you add for that, I think you got Auburn.
And then it gets tough.
It gets tough after
and
that.
And Auburn's not that good, I don't think. But if this guy, Hazen, the new coach, if he exploits LSU, everybody's going to be going after our safeties and linebackers every game.
That's the
game. And they're going to stack the box on offense.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't block for the run game.
UCLA, I mean, it seemed like they blitz on every single play. It was like, we're not scared of your running game. We're going to try to blitz Max and get him uncomfortable.
I don't think the fans would be upset if UCLA was a top 10 team.
No, like, we're actually if you're an LSU fan, you are pulling for UCLA to go the rest of the season and just ball out and win the Pac-12. And
right.
You're pulling for that to be a good loss.
It's not going
to
happen.
I'm just saying, if you're an LSU fan, you got to pull for that to happen, because if that's the case, then that loss isn't so bad, especially first game of the season coming out. And like you said, it's the first game of the season coming out. You're going to improve. You're going to get better. It's just the biggest case. And I've heard the biggest jump is from game two to game three. So these next two games, even though you can say that they're going to be wins for LSU, you also got to search for what improvements they make from week one to week two to week three. A lot of those issues, do they fix on those issues?
Well, the coaches have to make a big decision, and it starts this Saturday because you only have two warm-up games to get it right. They have to go, and they got to look at their whole room with O linemen. And you look at Marlon Martinez, who's a very talented center mm-hmm. out of yep. Florida.
Where's Cardell Thomas? Where's
Cardell, what about Dumervil?
Yep.
You know, you've got some guys that you got to make a decision. If you go with them, you got to go with them now.
If I'm Brad Davis, I was like, no, nobody's job safe this week. You got to prove me something. You got to show me something this week.
And if you can't, if you're lacking the big tight end to block, Cole Taylor's just not heavy enough. He's not strong enough. He doesn't know how to block yet. He's really.
And early in the game, it showed when Cole Taylor was out there at H-back, they were predictable.
But his defense, he wasn't recruited as a big blocking tight end. He's all they have.
Mm-hmm.
He was more of a split tight end to be a receiver. He's actually having to do that because he's the only big body tight end on the team.
Because after that, you got Jack Besh, and that's not what he does.
207, 207.
Right.
I mean,
you got Jack
Besh
and Devontae Lee out there, and that's not what they do.
You give Max Johnson time, you give him a running game, his passing completion rate will be 80-90%.
Yeah, it'll be in the 60s or 70s.
Yeah, he'll be better.
In the 50s.
And you got to make a decision right now as LSU coaches. it's time to give someone a chance to be the guy at running back. And
which I was shocked they didn't give anybody else a chance, you know, just to get some carries and see what Corey, the freshman does. Let's see what
Josh Williams is a great kid, a great little player. I think Ty's got, you know,
he's got the talent, you know,
but
Ty,
they're not the they can't be the guy.
Ty's going to be that guy that fourth quarter we're going to ride on him and he's going to wear defenses out. Yeah. That's what Ty is.
If Ty was at Alabama, he would be like their third rotation back. Good point, late in the game, Jace.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But he doesn't have that burst to hit the hole in time to open it up to wear people down.
Right.
John Emery, we don't know what's going to happen there at all.
Yeah, and you know that's frustrating. Yeah.
This is a quandary they're in. And I'm going to tell you, just if it was a running game problem, that's a huge problem in itself. But now you got safety, you got linebacker issues, you got running back problems, you got O-line problems. You don't have a big tight end to block.
I mean, the passing game's going to be good. I mean, the passing game's going to be good for LSU. But it's all about this run game. You can't be one-dimensional. I mean, I know you have Kayshon Boutte and all these great receivers. Max is a good quarterback. But you have to be able to run the football. You have to be two-dimensional. You can't be one-dimensional.
This is one of those years that if LSU doesn't have a great year, they're probably going to beat somebody they're not supposed to beat because they got a lot of talent.
Look what happened last year. They didn't have a good year at all, and they ruined Ford the season. Right. Ford had a chance at a national title, and that was going down the drain after that game.
You know, the one thing that I think that might would help Orgeron in the future, Jace, is our fan base kind of holds you to everything you say. We have a very emotional fan base in Louisiana.
Yeah,
they love the Tigers. They love LSU so much that they take this thing to another level, and I grew up in a family like that. So I think the thing to do now is to show it, and the bragging's got to stop, obviously. But all that pre-summer bragging, they're going to hold Ed to that.
Yeah, go hold it to you.
And that's why they're angry. I think they're angry at that more than anything because just don't preview that and don't build that picture into the fans.
Yeah, if you do that, they're going to blame you even more. Say, I thought we have all this talent. Then what are y'all doing to help improve this talent? Yeah. You got to be very careful
on what you say.
And it happened, perfect example, what happened before the UCLA game. Yeah, that interaction with the fan. You just got to be careful what you say because UCLA is right now on their social media.
Yeah, it's a new world.
Yeah. Everybody's going to see what you say.
Look, LSU is a great school loved by millions of people in the state, you know, going back to the 1800s and whenever they started way back. But they love their football, and it's part of the job. And if you're making $7 million a year and some change – this goes with the territory. They don't want 7-5, 8-4 seasons.
Right.
They don't want they want an elite program. They want a program that goes out game one, plays the UCLA, takes care of business, and then plays for championships. You don't have to win one every year.
Right.
And then the problem is our LSU fans watch Alabama do so well, right?
And that's the thing, you get lost up in everything.
And they get caught up, and you can't.
You just can't compare.
But that's what happens.
Like what Nick Saban's doing right now, you're not going to see that ever when he's done. I mean, that's just something just unfathomable as far as like what he's doing.
If LSU, by a miracle, can somehow find their running back, their Clyde Edwards-Helaire or their Kevin Faulk or somebody who can be the bell cow, and somehow they can get the right lineup on the O-line and they can somehow adjust on defense and figure out how to make it work. There's a lot of problems.
They just need at least a guy like – even a guy like Nick Brissett. I mean, he ran at 1,000 yards.
You don't have to be
a first-round pick. Just be a solid guy that they can – you can lean on in the running game.
I watched a lot of college football the last 30 years, and I watched a lot of it Saturday, and there's a lot of teams that have 4-6-5 running backs that can hit the hole quick and wear you down. And a lot of these teams, they don't have big-time O-lines, but they get after you, and they move people, and they can pull, and this is not chemistry, right? Yeah. This is not algebra. This is
and this is experienced offensive line. I mean, Austin Deckles has played the most games in LSU history out there, and Shanahan comes back at center.
And well, the SEC's got some talent, and you have to have the more talent than some of these top teams. And let's face it, you look at Florida play the other day. They're basically just toying with, was it Florida Atlantic?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're just toying with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, they kind of just, you look at Mullen, he's playing two quarterbacks. He's not even caring. Yeah,
the second guy was
Mullen
good.
Doesn't even care how the game ends. He just wants to win the game, but he's playing everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And they never have that game in question. Florida Atlantic's not bad. They're not a bad team. But as an example is they're playing and they have their system in, and, you know, he's going to develop this Anthony Richardson to be another mm-hmm. Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
And then by the time LSU plays them, they're going to be ready to go. But their O-line and D-lines look differently too. You know, even watching Ole Miss, who's not as big as LSU on defense, they come after you on defense.
Oh, they're hard. They play fast and physical. And they have two or three guys rallying to the ball.
And they're in position.
They're in position to make
plays.
Their
technique's good. They're in position. They read. They know where they need to be.
It seems like LSU is just waiting for the play to unfold. And then they react. So you got to react and be able to fly across the football and make those plays instead of waiting for the play unfold.
And, Jay, some of it is signing players that do have that natural reaction. Some kids don't have it. Some kids can't read. Because I've been scouting for 30 years. Some players in high school just can't read the play. They look the part, but they can't read the play.
Yeah.
And sometimes that happens in recruiting. You sign a guy that's like 6'3", 230, runs a 4'5", he does this and that. But he can't read. He can't.
Sometimes you need the guy that's not as athletic as that five-star, but he is going to get there. He knows where he needs to be. He knows his assignment, and he's going to get there. He's going to beat you to it. And sometimes that's better than having a talented guy that, you know, maybe behind the playbook and not as sure as far as reading plays and reading coverages and reading blocks. So, yeah, sometimes that beats the more talented guy.
Well, I just hope LSU can have a miracle and turn it around. And they've got two warm-up games to fix it. That's
it. I think no matter what LSU does, they can win 80-0 these next two games.
It's not going to matter.
It's not going to matter to LSU
fans.
They
need to just work on LSU. They need to work on LSU. Right. They need to just the players need to just, you know, and we're not – I'm not one of the worst shows. I'm not going to sit there and just say, oh, they're going to fire Ed. No, I'm not getting in all that.
It's a long season. This is only week one.
We're talking about one game. We're talking about getting out coached in that game. And we're talking about all the problems they got to fix. And we'll talk about it again come Mississippi State, because that's going to be the first test again to see, okay, did it get fixed?
Did they improve? And you're actually going to see that a lot these next 2 weeks, that they improve on some of those issues.
Yeah, if they struggle to run the ball against these two teams, then it's going to be
I would be shocked if they do not – that's their main priority this game. They're going to run the football 30, 40 times this week. I mean
– get everybody a shot.
Yeah, get everybody a shot running the football and see who stands out.
We're going to take a break, and we're not going to talk LSU anymore. We're going to talk about the other state colleges that I got the chance to watch. Like many of you that listened to the show and Jace watched a few, we're going to talk about Louisiana Tech and Tulane and ULL, McNeese State. On and on and on, and hope you enjoy the show. We'll be right back. If you need a paint job or repairs to your vehicle, go see Medin's Collision Center located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana on Kincaid Avenue. The number to call is 357-7983. That's 357-7983. Your Baton Rouge Accident Advisors. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm Lee Burkine, your host. Our co-host is Jace Lejeune. And Jace, This segment, we're going to talk about, in the next two, we're going to talk about all the other colleges in Louisiana. I had a chance to watch Texas and ULL.
Yeah.
My opinion of that game, by the way.
Not what the Louisiana fans hope for.
No, but here's my observation of ULL. And I watched UL last year. I watched them against Iowa State. I watched them against Appalachian State. I watched about six games of UL last year. Mm-hmm. UL has a lot of talent.
Yeah.
They have a lot of experience. Their offensive line is one of the best in the country. You can still say, oh, you're crazy, Lee. No, they really are.
No, they really are.
Here's the weakness they have. They won a lot of close games last year because they just were fortunate. They had football luck. They won a lot of close games. A lot of good coaching calls to win close games. What they don't have is, if they get down by two touchdowns, Levi Lewis is a great facilitator. He's a great manager. And he's experienced. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes, but he's not a
– He's not going to win you a game.
He's not a four-wide quarterback. Yeah. He's not a down-the-field guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Texas knew that. And UL was in the game with Texas for three quarters. They just could not catch up and get big plays. And what they had last year that they don't have this year, they had Regas last year and Mitchell.
Yeah, I knew that was going to hurt them a little bit. Now, Chris Smith is good.
They're good.
But
they had home run threats with those two.
Mm.
Those two would always break some long runs. Now, somebody's got to step up to help Chris Smith.
Yeah.
And the O-line's phenomenal. Levi's a great manager. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He's a great kid. But he's limited on being able to, like, get into a 45
game. Yeah, he can't be in a shootout. He's not going to win you a game on his own.
Look, this team's full of NFL players. Zion Hill, DN from Catholic New Iberia, is going to be a high draft pick.
Kyron Lacy, man.
Kyron Lacy was frustrated. He didn't get the ball more because they're not that team.
Mm-hmm.
But Kyron Lacy from Thibodeau is a stud.
That touchdown he scored late home.
Montrell Johnson's going to be a stud from De La Salle.
Yeah, I'm thinking he might be the guy that can step up and be behind Chris Smith.
This is his first game.
Yep.
Jarrell Rogers looked good from Lafayette Christian, receiver, looked really good.
Yeah, Errol Rogers, yep.
A.J. Washington, a defensive player, looked great. Their whole line's going to play in the NFL. Some are going to get drafted high. Their D-line's very talented. Like I said, they were in the game, but they wore out on defense. And Texas just knocked the fence down.
Texas looks pretty impressive
for their
debut.
They're talented.
For Sarkisian's debut.
He inherited talent. Now, what's his name? Couldn't coach the team the way they needed to be, but they recruited pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I think the quarterback card's going to be really good.
Yeah, Hudson Card looked really impressive.
He's the next Austin Westlake NFL quarterback one day when he gets more experience. But again,
and you're wondering coming in the game because Casey Thompson had six touchdowns in the bowl game. He thought he was going to be the guy. He's like, well, this Card kid must be pretty good, and he showed.
Well, Card's going to be real. He can run. He's tough. He's got an arm. But
and Bijan Robinson's a really good weapon.
You know he's from Arizona?
Yeah.
They went to Phoenix, and LSU recruited him and could not land him.
Wow.
And, my gosh, he's good.
He is.
Imagine
really
if LSU would have had him for UCLA. Yeah. It would have been a different – we'd be talking different today.
Mm-hmm. The running game would be better.
We're going to take a break. We come back. I'm going to talk about Tulane when we come back, and we'll talk about ULL. And we talked about ULL. We're going to talk about ULM.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And Louisiana Tech.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Be sure to take your car and truck for all your tire needs to Treads and Care Tire Company located in Central. The number to call is 331-8144. Family owned and operated since 1971. That's Treads and Care Tire Company. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. Lee Burkine. I'm your host, Jace Lejeune, our co-host today. I watched the Tulane-Oklahoma game, Jace, the whole game. And I'm going to tell you something. Willie Fritz, tip my cap to you, man.
He's doing it, hell of a job the last 3 years with Tulane.
He exploited Oklahoma. And he scored 35 points on Oklahoma at Oklahoma, right? The game was supposed to be played at Tulane because of the storm. It was played at Oklahoma. Tulane got a bad call late in the game that cost him, I think, the game. Now, it didn't cost him points because the guy misses the field goal.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a flag called on Tulane's DB.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen a replay on TV, Jace, where the receiver throws the DB down and they put the flag on the DB.
Yeah.
I mean, he actually took this Hazelwood kid from Oklahoma, threw Tulane's DB down, like throw him on the ground, and they throw the flag on Tulane. The momentum, if Pratt doesn't fumble the ball twice in a game, protecting the ball, Tulane wins.
Yeah.
Pratt had a hell of a game.
Oh, he is a tough warrior. You saw he was getting hit the entire game.
He can throw. And once he figures out how to run and control the ball running, once he calms down a little bit, he's going to be an NFL starter like Patrick Ramsey.
But yeah, he's
more,
good.
More athletic. And I'm going to tell you, Tulane, I mean, Monroe at DB, Larry Brooks, Robinson, Spears and Carroll at running back.
Uh-huh, yep.
Jeffrey Johnson, their nose guard's an NFL guy from Mississippi.
They got good receivers.
Man, Wyatt, the freshman, they got at receivers, phenomenal. Tolles.
Yeah, they got Watts, yeah.
The big tight end is really good.
Mm-hmm.
But Chris Henry looks good, the six-year guy from old alma mater, Central High School, came from Oklahoma State.
Yep.
Tulane. Tulane can be great this year. A lot of people thought Tulane weren't going to be good, but they got a chance to be really good.
Mm-hmm. They can be a factor in the AAC for sure this year. And, yeah, just kudos for Tulane coming out and, you know, with all the circumstances, they stepped up and they almost pulled off a huge upset. And I believe Oklahoma only scored 3 points in the second half. They outscored them at 21-3 in the second half.
Look, Tulane would beat LSU game one. I mean, they
With that performance and LSU's performance, yeah, I mean, they would have blown LSU out the water.
Who's better offensively, Oklahoma or UCLA?
Oklahoma.
There you go. And Tulane held them to 3 points second half. Tulane, no All-American recruits. None.
Mm-mm.
None. Scheming.
No, yep, scheming, coaching, and these guys, they just play, they play hard and they play well together.
I bet Oklahoma fans are ticked off, man. 35 points.
Well, you just came out of it thinking that Tulane won the game and Oklahoma lost the game.
Well, Oklahoma's got this reputation that they, you know, they don't have a defense, and they don't. And early in the game, the announcers are like, Oklahoma's got this great defense this year. Oh, my gosh. Look at. And late in the game, the announcers were like,
This is a very important year for Alex Grinch to see if he makes any improvements as the defensive coordinator, because he's been there. He's been there for a couple years. So this is a big year for him to step up and see if he makes any sort of jump or any improvement to this defense at Oklahoma.
I have advice to all Oklahoma fans that are listening to the show. Find a defense when you join the conference, or it's going to be really hard to be in this conference.
Well,
you're going to be Vandy if you don't have a defense.
Right. True.
Speaking of ULM of Monroe, I watched Terry Bowden and the staff who I work with, do consulting for them, recruiting. Big Dare Rosenthal for Kentucky was starting.
And LSU could have used him on Saturday.
And you know, he looked good.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't give up a sack. And he didn't dominate, but he looked better than I've ever seen him. He looked in shape, and it was tough seeing that.
And he would have been your starting left tackle.
I mean, if you're an LSU fan, you're watching it, you're going, oh. And you're seeing that, okay? And then Kentucky's young quarterback is going to be a stud.
He can throw the football.
And that's all they've been lacking is a quarterback that can throw.
Yep.
They've always had a defense under Stoops.
Before the season, everybody was thinking, when LSU win against Kentucky, I really don't think so. Right now, I'm not sure about that.
And look, Coach Rodriguez gets the coach's son.
Yeah, yeah.
Rodriguez was the quarterback. He struggled, but it was his first
start. He showed some.
He's athletic.
He showed some plays out there.
And ULM, they got, if you remember, Jared Sparks from Dutchtown, transferred from Minnesota, I believe. He did some things. ULM just doesn't have the talent yet. But I thought they did okay considering they were outmanned. They got one double-A talent right now.
Right. And just considering the talent they have, I thought there were some, compared to last year, I thought there were some improvements made.
Louisiana Tech, I watched the state game. Man, Holtz has to be sick to his stomach today.
Oh, they had their shot. They had a
chance.
They
were winning by 20
with
10 minutes left in the game. And State couldn't get out of their own shadow. I mean, State couldn't do anything.
Right, then the fourth quarter happened.
And in Tech, they stopped too soon. They got conservative too soon.
They put the foot off the gas pedal a little too soon.
But their quarterback is the real deal at Tech. Tech's going to be saved because the new quarterback who transferred from West Virginia,
and he was at Oklahoma. Yep. Austin Kendall.
Austin Kendall looked great. He looked great. Actually, I didn't think Tech would be competitive this year, but we didn't know Kendall was going to look like this. He didn't even play at West Virginia, Harley, at the end.
Yeah, talking to Coach Holtz, I mean, he was excited about the talent they had. He just didn't know what guys were going to step up and be those proven guys. And it looked like there were some options, and there were some guys that did that on Saturday.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, defensively, This Ben Bell at defensive end is a heck of a player. He'd start for LSU. Tyler Grubbs would be
the same. Tyler Grubbs was a monster last year. Yep.
He would be a starter at LSU. Yep. Neither one of them was recruited by LSU. Smoke Harris looks great.
Yeah, Smoke looks Smoke really good.
From yep. West Feliciana, man. West Feliciana,
yep.
All 5'7", 195, runs a 4'3".
Yep.
He's going to be an NFL, Jace.
Oh, he's a playmaker.
Woods and Williams at DB, they look great. Cole from Neville looked yep. great. DB, Griffin Hebert looks pretty
Griffin,
good.
Griffin, yep.
From St. Thomas More.
And they got the receiver transfer from Tennessee that made a big play.
Actually, Isaiah Graham and the receiver from Tennessee is that's a heck of a unit.
Yeah,
you throw in Griffin, Smoke, and you got Taji
McGee.
They
got a pretty good receiving core.
Terrence McGee's little brother, Taji.
Yep.
Joshua Moat is a good player from Oak Grove, mm-hmm. their center. They got a lot of NFL guys. Means is a kid that you were mentioning from Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee, yep, yep.
He's a stud. He's 6'2", about 210.
Yep.
Mississippi State looked like a team that just didn't take them serious. I'm just going to be honest. It's like they woke up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, now it's, I think after the pick six that Rogers threw, it was like, okay, we need to wake up, and they did.
Will Rogers is going to be a heck of a quarterback, but he doesn't have the run game. State doesn't have a great run game, and there's too much pressure on Will Rogers. He played all last year as a freshman, true freshman.
Yeah, after Costello kind of went down after the
– From that legendary town of Brandon, Mississippi, where all the great quarterbacks are coming out of now. But Mississippi State still got a formidable defense. They're young. They didn't look great. But, again, they look like a lot of LSU teams in Tiger Stadium in the past, where UAB will give them a game or Troy or
– Well, if you look at it like this, if you're not named Alabama, you had – Every team had their issues on Saturday. That's just what it was.
It's first game.
First game of the year coming
and
out.
You know what? State fans today are not, they're not as mad as LSU because they won. They won the game. And Leach, he's so funny, man. That guy's a trip.
He said, entertaining, for sure.
I just love that he's so loose after a game, win or lose. He just likes to tell a joke.
Yeah, he wants to talk about Bigfoot and Pirates and just whatever else is on his mind.
Yeah, Pirates of the Caribbean or whatever. Yeah. We're going to take a break when we come back. We're going to talk about some other teams that I had a chance to watch. And if Jace wants to talk about, we'll talk about Florida State, Texas Tech. I watched Houston. There were some Louisiana names playing in those games that did real well. And we'll talk about some other teams. Talk about Ole Miss a little bit. Caden Costa from Mandeville, who was on the cover of our magazine.
I was telling my dad yesterday.
I told everybody he was a 5-star, and they're like, we had three field goals last night.
Yeah.
One for 47.
Yeah, he has ups and downs. But, pretty good debut for him.
Yeah, from Mandeville High School, Caden Costa, the starting kicker for Ole Miss. We'll be right back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm Lee Burkine, your host. Our co-host today is Jace Lejeune, our editor. And just to throw this out real quick, in case you didn't notice it, Texas Longhorns, Ray Thornton had a sack in his first game.
I remember hearing that name during the game. Yeah,
former
Ray
LSU
Thornton.
Linebacker who I don't think he had more than one sack in a season at LSU.
No.
Terra Bones, Ja'Kari Douglas had a 66-yard. Touchdown from Terrebonne High School for Florida
made
State.
Made some plays in that play when Mackenzie Milton came back in the game when everybody was so excited.
Yeah.
That was him on the catch.
I watched Texas Tech. There was an Eric Monroe sighting from LSU at DB.
Yep.
Still not what they thought he would be. He's more of a nickel strong, but hey, mm-hmm. he's playing. Houston, tight end from Sulphur, Christian Trahan. Had a great game.
He's been pretty good for him the last couple of years.
He's actually a NFL prospect that LSU could use him. He's 255, 6'3", runs a 4'8".
Could LSU use him at tight end? Yep.
He's got good hands. He had like 5 catches.
He's been a pretty good receiving threat the last 2 or 3 years for Houston.
Alabama destroyed Miami. I'm going to go ahead. I actually lost a bet. I said Miami
yeah,
would
be. Yeah, you said Miami would win.
Well, look, I was on the Miami train because I watched their spring game. And they looked as good as they ever looked on O-D-line.
Yeah.
And skill. I was like, this team's finally the team, right? Derek King's coming back.
Yeah, coming back,
The backup quarterbacks are really good. And they get destroyed.
Yeah, I thought Alabama would win, but I didn't think it would be like that. I thought Miami would put a competitive game, and Alabama would pull away in the third, fourth quarter.
Jace, I think teams are intimidated by Alabama. Let's just say it. Now, I know they say, oh, they're all 18-year-old kids, and they're all the same age. But I really believe if you get down to Alabama by a couple of touchdowns, teams start freaking out.
Oh, yeah, it's over. Yep.
You can feel it. It's like they take the life out of you and your soul.
Yep. And they do it early.
They do it early. And they mentally get to you. And I think teams come out and play them so hard, they make a lot of mistakes. Or they're a little scared and intimidated by them. If you take 10 minutes to get your stuff together, it's 28-0.
Yeah, you can tell other teams play a little tight, a little timid. They don't play as loose. And, you know, Alabama takes – they don't make mistakes.
Miami could end up going 9-3, you know. You never know.
Based off the ACC and what I saw, they could.
Speaking of that, Clemson scores 3 points.
I loved how all week they pumped up both JT Daniels and DJ Ugo. They pumped that up. That was the matchup. And what paid the difference was a pick six on defense. That was the only score of the game.
DJ Ugo is not there yet. He's not polished. He's a typical recruit, looks the part, got an arm, but he's just not there.
Yep, there were some plays that he was actually stepping into sacks. He was causing his own sacks.
It's a product of people saying Clemson's just going to have an automatic great year again. No. I mean, Watson was phenomenal, the quarterback.
Yep.
And then Trevor Lawrence. And they just thought, right? They just assumed that DJ Ogunlogi is going to be like the next Lawrence or Watson. It's not that case right now.
He may be down the road, but not right away.
Georgia played without some of their top players and won the game. They had half their receiving core was out, and half of their O-line is hurt, and 2 or 3 on defense. So Georgia won. Hey, speaking of excuses, they didn't have 8 players in there too deep.
Yeah.
They only gave up 3 points.
Yeah, right.
Yep. And Georgia
defense looked good.
Georgia doesn't have a great running game, but they've got a great O-line.
Mm-hmm. They got a great O-line, and they got a great D-line.
But none of their backs are fast, shifty guys. They're big guys that just pound on you, but they're not any different than Ty Davis.
Show how important it is to have a line. I mean, you can win games just having that, and, you know, that's what helped Georgia get that win over Clemson.
Big Ten, I'll watch Penn State. They look good.
Yeah, Penn State looked good.
Notre Dame and Florida State. Florida State's not there yet, but I love how they play hard now.
They're coming back.
They play hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's cleaned it up. And Notre Dame, that new quarterback that transferred from Wisconsin.
He looked good.
Cone, I believe.
Yeah, he looked good.
He is really good.
Yeah.
He's got a chance to be a first-round pick, I think.
Notre Dame's offense is going to be really good.
Williams, the running back's phenomenal.
You got Williams, you got Mayer, they got weapons.
Well, Notre Dame, they're under-the-radar recruit. They always get these kids that never leave, and they develop, and they always got big senior classes, and they're all team.
You know what they know their identity. They get a big line, they get a really good quarterback, a good tight ends, good running backs. They know their identity.
They have zero academic problems. They're probably the only school in the country where you don't go there unless you want to go to school and play football.
Oh, they make you go to school at Notre Dame.
You have to kick a kid out of school there to get rid of a player. They call that good attrition. And Kelly has done a phenomenal job. Now, he hasn't won a national championship, but he's played in two playoff games and one national championship.
They've been in the conversation the last, 6-7 years. Yeah. They've been in the conversation.
But they played Alabama last year, and what happened? They just sucked the life out of Notre Dame in the first half, and it was over.
Mm-hmm.
And when they played them in the national championship a few years ago, they did the same thing.
Right. But based off week one, it looks like, I hate to say it, but there's still a long season ahead. But it looks like Alabama's just head and shoulders above everybody else.
Jason,
you can disagree with me, but just based on what I saw.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to say that Alabama wins it again, barring an injury to Bryce Young, which I hope the kid doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, he is good, yep.
And here's why I think they'll win it again. For your question, nobody else is even close.
Mm-hmm.
The defense is one of his best in a long time. Bryce Young might not be a better pro. I think he's a better college player than a pro. I think he's a system guy like a lot of their quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a little Russell Wilson in him.
Yeah, he does.
And I was one that wasn't a fan. I didn't think he was going to be that good. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and throw that out
there. Yeah, me too.
I thought he was, like, small and, you know, he didn't look good. But, you know, shame on me. The genius guy signed him. But you know what he is? He's got that Joe Burrow brain.
He scrambles and navigates the pocket
smart,
and keeps his eyes downfield.
And he can throw the ball and hit spots, and and they give him all day long.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. Max Johnson's running for his life. This kid doesn't even have any dirt on his uniform. He doesn't even have a scratch. I don't even think his jersey touched the ground the whole game.
Yeah.
Alabama protects their quarterbacks. You don't get to them.
Right. If there's one thing I go back to LSU on, I would like to see Max step up in the pocket. Sometimes when pressure does come to him,
he just needs more experience.
Yeah, it's only his third start. So.
Yeah, third start. I liked what he did.
Mm-hmm.
If he would have had a run game, everybody would have been talking differently this week. They'd have been like, oh, man, he threw for 350. He was probably a little better on completions. But if you give a young kid no run game,
it's a lot to ask.
Can you imagine Alabama not having a run game? I mean, it's a different story for Bryce Young.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's a lot to ask.
But I was one that thought Alabama would struggle because of Bryce. Now I'm the opposite. I'm like, wait a minute. He's way better than I thought he was. I already knew their defense was going to be great.
Yeah, we assumed for Alabama the defense was going to carry the offense. So the offense,
but I'm going to tell you one thing they don't have. One thing they don't have. Not that it matters. But they don't have a Heisman running back. Mm-hmm. They have three good running backs. But they do not have a Derrick Henry.
They don't have Najee Harris.
They don't have that guy like that. Now, they got Robinson and they got the kid from Texas. They're not
that level.
That's
the conversation we had at LSU. You just need good solid.
You don't need a high – in Alabama, they don't need a – they don't need that guy.
Need that guy. No.
They don't need it. They're better this year. Now, last year they needed Najee.
They needed Najee last year.
But this year, no. Georgia, can they beat Alabama? I still say no.
No, based off what I've seen.
Keep an eye on Florida.
What do you think about A&M? Like, did A&M, like, really impress you?
I think A&M is a media darling.
Mm-hmm.
I think the quarterback, Haynes King,
mm-hmm.
he's got a long ways to go.
Yeah.
He is, the media is propping him up. Everybody's on this Jimbo Fisher train. You know, they beat LSU. They upset Florida, who wasn't that good last year. A&M is not where the media says they are. I'm not buying it.
Right.
Now, has he recruited a little bit better? Do they feel better about themselves? Yeah, but is A&M beating Alabama? No. Would Alabama beat Georgia with that Georgia defense? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia's problem is they're going to have trouble scoring points if they don't get their receivers back.
Yep.
And I think Florida's going to slip in the end.
Okay.
I think Anthony Richardson, this young quarterback, is another Dak Prescott.
He looked good. And, like, he wore that old 15 jersey, mm-hmm. so a lot of people were Prescott and Tebow. Mm-hmm. That's what they come
from. Florida's like LSU. If you give LSU a great quarterback, they're probably going to do great. You give Florida a great quarterback, they always got the athletes.
And Mullen, I mean, he's one, if not the best, he's one of the best.
He's the quarterback whisperer.
Yeah, he is.
And I've got friends that said, oh, Florida, they ain't going to be any good. They ain't got a quarterback. I'm like, Anthony Richardson. They're like, who's that? I'm like, well, he's a redshirt from Gainesville, Florida. Oh, he's not any good. He wasn't ranked. I'm like, timeout. This is a quarterback whisper coach. This is the guy that got Smith, right?
Mm-hmm. Alex Smith at first round pick.
This is the
Tim
guy,
Tebow.
This is the guy that signed Cam Newton at Florida.
Cam Newton.
Tebow. I mean, it's
Prescott.
Prescott.
Yeah.
And then the one that
Kyle Trask. Yeah, Kyle Trask into a second round pick.
But you look at this guy, Richardson, he's got a chance to be better than Dak. He's 6'4", 240, runs a 4.45, Jace, and he's freaking incredible.
Oh, he can definitely run the football.
And by the time LSU plays Florida, he's going to be a little polished. He's going to feel good about
himself. Yeah, that's the thing, like, as far as him as a passer, how polished is he and how
– But if he runs the ball, he's going to become –
Oh, he's a really good runner.
He's going to be the Cam Newton you can't stop.
Yep.
So keep an eye on Florida. because no one thought or knew who Anthony Richardson was. And I was telling people, I saw this kid in high school play. I saw a film, and I'm like, this guy's a freak.
All I got to say is Emory better watch out.
Emory Who's that?
Emory Jones.
He Emory's going to lose it to him.
Yeah, that's what I said. He better watch out.
Dan knows how to play this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Play them both. And then midseason, the other kid probably won't leave by then. He'll finish up. You'll keep your two quarterbacks. You know, it's a process.
Yeah.
If you go with him now, then the other kid leaves.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wait about 2-3 weeks.
Well, he did that. I mean, he's been known to play two quarterbacks too. Mm-hmm. So you're probably going to see a lot of Emory and Richardson playing a lot of two quarterback systems over this year.
I haven't seen USC yet.
No, I haven't a chance to really watch them. I saw a little bit of the Oregon game.
I heard they struggled.
Yeah.
And they lost Thibodeau, their big D tackle.
Early in the game. But Fresno looks like a pretty good football team. So
if Fresno State beats UCLA this week, that's going to look bad for LSU.
If you're an LSU fan, you got to pull for UCLA to continue to look good.
Well, if you want to make the playoffs, if by miracle you can go on a run because the talent's there. But they got it. Like I said, they got 2 weeks to get this figured out. They got two games. No disrespect to McNeese. No disrespect to
Central Michigan.
But these are two games to get your stuff together. And this is the final call for roll call on this deal for LSU.
Well, and it's week one. If you're going to have your problems, you're going to have them week one. And I mean, looking back a couple years ago, now I'm not saying LSU is going to run the table.
No, we're not saying that.
But all I'm saying is, remember Ohio State won the national championship in 2014? What was their first game? They played Virginia Tech, and Virginia Tech beat them pretty good. So
doesn't happen often.
It doesn't happen often, but it's not impossible. That's all. I mean, it's a long season.
And the team that looked bad that I thought would look good is North Carolina.
I thought they were overrated, too, entering the season. Losing the two running backs, losing the receiver. I thought they were a little overhyped.
And Mac looks tired again. Mac Brown?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did.
I know his brother had passed away, I think, that week. I know that had a lot to do with it. But Mac's 70-something years old, might be 71 or so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't hold me to it, listeners. He's in the 70s, somewhere in the 70s. But I don't know how long he can stay at North Carolina. Howell, the quarterback's phenomenal. I love him.
Yeah, it just seemed like he didn't really have a lot of help that
getting back to LSU. You need time to throw the ball.
He's 70.
Yeah, right. I thought he was right at it. And I'm gonna go one playoff team prediction right now, Alabama. I don't even have a second, third, or fourth team. I really don't.
Now, Ohio State showed a lot of flashes of what they can be against Minnesota, but I like to see how they develop.
But their fans are hot, giving up 31 points to Minnesota.
Right.
And Ohio State has four DBs that could be out for the year. I read that today. Mm. That's not good.
Yeah.
Northwestern didn't look good early this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pat Fitzgerald doesn't
look. Now, Michigan State looked pretty good.
They look really good. Yeah. I'm going to tell you what, hats off to Mel Tucker.
Yeah, Mel's doing a pretty good job.
Man, he's got 20-something transfers, and they all look great.
The running back looked really good.
Yeah, I mean, the little running backs looks like a first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had, what, 250, 60 yards or something?
Four or five touchdowns, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of – but I changed my stance. I think Tech's going to be better than I thought. Tulane's going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
UL's still going to dominate.
They're still going to be the top of the
– Final team to talk about. McNeese State loses to a D2 Florida team, and it wasn't even – they never had the lead. It's not good.
Yeah. I know – although they are the Division II national champions, so they are the best Division II team in college football, it's still a bad look to lose a Division II team.
Florida Tech?
Right. It was a shootout, right? It was like 49 – 40-something. Yep.
And the only Louisiana team to win this past weekend was your Lions of Southeastern.
Yeah, Southeastern was a game I was supposed to call, but that game got moved to North Alabama. And
kudos to the Lions with all what they've been through, with their town being damaged and just the facilities, everything, man. Just prayers to all the families there, all the way to Kentwood, Amy, Mandeville, Covington, all of that whole area. But
They have a chance this year to do a lot of really good things in the South.
Yeah, I didn't like the way McNeese – looked. I thought they would look even better than last year, you know, because they return a lot of people.
Yeah.
Nichols lost.
Nichols lost, but it wasn't a huge. No. They were playing Memphis,
and then Northwestern. They were playing a good team.
North Texas.
It kind of. I didn't get to see Grambling play.
Yeah, Southern law. It was pretty rough for Southern. They lost to Troy.
And that's. I don't ever remember just one Louisiana team winning out of 12.
Yeah. Yep. In the last couple of years, like the last 2 years, last year, 2019 was a really good year for Louisiana overall.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just fast forward 2 years later, 2021, and see only one Louisiana team win. I mean, it was very hard to see that, but it was a tough week overall for Louisiana in general.
Final thoughts, and I'm gonna give this out. Fans might like this because I've been hearing everybody like rearranging their win loss record for LSU. You know, my win loss record was 10-2.
At the beginning of the season was 10-2. Yep,
I own up to it. But you know why I said 10-2? The defense.
Mm-hmm.
I really just, and I don't ever use the word assume. Assume's not good.
Mm-hmm.
But I was assuming with all the talent back on defense.
It would step, it would improve.
And, yeah. And I also thought Kiner and Goodwin, Amani, all those guys would be available for UCLA and that it wouldn't just be Ty.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, was Ty 100%? We don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he looked good in the spring game and they had said he was beat up, but he might not have been 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought they were going to have all these backs. Somebody's going to step up, and I thought the defense was going to be great, and I thought the O-line would be good enough, kind of like when Burrow was here, right?
Yeah, and you thought Emory would be available. I mean,
yeah, I thought one of these freshman running backs, honestly, was going to step up and give
us. Me too, yeah.
And they didn't even play.
Right.
So I went up to 10-2. I'm going to go with this because I don't think with my heart. I think with just studying it and looking mm-hmm. at it, and LSU will get better in phases. The chances to play for a championship is out the window to me.
Yeah. Right. And really all this right. year.
I'm talking about SEC and national.
Yeah.
I'm talking
like,
both. All right.
Yeah. I didn't think LSU was going to beat Bama. And we're still playing four playoff teams. And yeah. LSU's not going to beat Bama.
10-2 wasn't going to get you there.
Yeah. Right.
But most people are really getting crazy about their win loss. I'm going 8-4. Because there's not going to be a lot of teams they play later in the year that can beat LSU. LSU is going to be really good. It's going to be unfortunate that they're not going to be able to make it probably. And they're going to look really good late in the year, but it's you're not going to have the record, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're probably going to lose to Alabama, right?
That's
definitely.
That's two.
And you're out.
Yeah.
And so everything after that, LSU will probably – here's my thing.
Yeah.
LSU might stumble twice. They could stumble –
I think they lose to Ole Miss.
They could lose Ole Miss, Bama, and then they could run, get on a run because teams get better. They got talent. Or this thing could get really bad, but I'm going 8-4.
Yeah, I think their best case scenario is 9-3. That's best case scenario. But
yeah.
8-4 looks pretty reasonable right now.
And what happens with Ed, who knows? I'm not getting into all that. Look, recruits listen to the show. Dads listen to the show. We're not a show where we just go after and say this and that. I mean, we're just talking about the game. And we're also talking that there might be some sunshine at the end of the road when this is over. There's a chance. A lot of people are saying there's no chance. That's, to me, a little harsh.
I think it's what you do at the end compared to the start of the season and what you do at the end
right.
of the season.
There's another opportunity here. You can either lose your team and let this thing get horrible, or you can grow from this and your team get closer.
Now, if there's one really good quality for Coach Ogeron, what he's been able to do.
Against the wall.
When his back is against the wall, he does a great job in getting his team ready and prepared for the next game.
Yeah. Well, like I said, they've got two games. They got 2 weeks to get all the players on the roster playing time to look at everything. They got 2 weeks to throw
and
out.
And fix any problems
and
that
don't
had.
Hide anything. If you want to run something, run it. If it works, you
see
can run
it
again.
See if it works out. Right.
And play everybody. Don't sit anybody. Give everybody a chance. Find your guys. And then go on a run. And play like everybody, you against the world. Right? I think Jack Besh had a tweet. So you're either with
yeah.
us or you're
yeah,
not with
right,
us.
Right, right.
And look, you have to take that approach. Now, is there an opportunity still to run this thing out? Yes. Yes, because they have talent.
Yeah.
The world – Saban used to say that at LSU. He says sometimes the fans think the world's blowing up, and it's just kind of pause it there for a minute and think about things, right? Not all is lost, because of one game. No. Now, if they don't go to Starksville and take care of business,
that I think that's the key game.
That's
going
to be the game.
That's going to be the key game.
That's going to define the season.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
If they can't run before like 15 yards at half on State, it's going to be a long year.
Yep. So if you're LSU the next 2 weeks, you know you can throw the ball. You know that. You got to focus on running the football and find the guy, to, like your main guy
running
the football.
Well, Jace, what they can do is this. You should be able to do anything you want to do.
Should.
But they should, as long as they play all the backs,
mm-hmm.
you still got to run a balanced offense. But you still, yep. actually, here's what they don't have, and this is what they also need to find. And I was disappointed in this. I don't think LSU knew their second, third receivers going into this game.
No, and that was the biggest question
mark,
too.
And that's why Butte was the guy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They have to find their second, third, and fourth receivers the next 2 weeks. Now, you got nine of them.
That's the thing.
And if the ones that don't start, look them in the eye and say, do you like to hit?
Seriously.
And say, do what Saban would do. Do what Pete Carroll would do. Say, do you want to play some safety? Because we need somebody to go out on that field and hit and read and react. Just go out there and play.
Mm-hmm. No.
Don't sit anybody that's talented.
I mean, that's their strongest, their most athletic group is their receivers. Yeah.
I predicted in a preview magazine that Malik Nabers would go to safety. He's had
a good offseason.
When he gets healthy, that's what I would do with him. Pick your 3-4 receivers. And I really believe in the end, those guys are going to be Butte, mm-hmm. Thomas, Besh.
Yep.
And then that fourth one, I think, is remain open. I think it could be the kid from Mississippi that's hurt, Smith.
Yeah, and he sat out the game, too. Yep.
And then there's everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
J-Ray Jenkins and all those other guys.
Yeah, Jenkins had some plays. Kirkland couldn't play. He was another one that didn't play
in the
game.
But they can't worry about making people happy right now. They got to, like, play the best guys.
Right. Don't worry. Because LSU fans aren't going to be happy no matter what you do these next two games. They're going to be talking about you lost to UCLA. That's what they want to take away from it. So you focus on what you need to do in-house to improve these two games.
Pick your receivers, and when you go out on the field against McNeese, go with Thomas. This is my gut. Brian mm-hmm. Thomas, Jack Besh, Butte, maybe Kirkland. I don't know.
Yep.
Go with the guys you're going to go with, and then audition everybody else the second half.
Yeah, Palmer had some catches. I mean, Jenkins had some catches. You still got Coy Moore. You got options out there. But you got to find who's going to be your two guy behind Butte, because that's what everybody's going to be focused
but
on.
But that's something people didn't bring up, but I noticed it. They didn't know who to go to as the second guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. They didn't. You know, when they had the 19 team, they knew that if Chase wouldn't open, it was Justin Jefferson.
Yep, or it was going to be Terrace Marshall.
Or it was going to be Moss.
Yep,
but they knew their four.
Or Quad.
Right, but they knew their guys.
Yep.
And they didn't really know that for this game.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like they took this game light. Like they didn't take UCLA.
Seriously.
But they're coming off a 5-5 year.
Mm-hmm. When we talk about experience, now it can be overrated. Because if you're bringing experience back from a team that struggled when it went 5-5, is it really valuable experience?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now. I don't see a change if they don't make some changes on the O-line. You don't have many, but you've got some good players. You can give Cordell Thomas a shot. You can give Dummerville, Dillinger. Even give Perry's kid a shot, Thomas Perry. You've got the kid they signed, Kaimo from Niceville, Florida mm-hmm. this year.
Yep.
You got a couple others. You got to go ahead and pick those. You got to get them playing time.
Yeah, this is a very important week if you're Brad Davis, especially since he is a new coach on the staff and trying to see which guys, if you're with Brad Davis, I would tell all my offensive line, nobody's job is safe this week. You got to show me something. Whoever shows me the most is going to be starting this week. That's how I would approach it.
It was one of the worst run blocking games I've ever seen at LSU.
Yep.
And I've seen some bad ones.
A lot of it was on the offensive line, but at the same time, they gotta more running plays.
They gotta find their back.
And they gotta be more creative in the run game too. It seemed like they ran the same play over and over.
Ty Davis
again.
Is a big guy that needs the defense to loosen up and get tired, and then he starts mauling on them. you need a guy with a burst. And they're down to basically, let's not even talk about Emory anymore. Let's talk about Omani Goodwin and Kiner.
Because Emory hasn't shown you anything, whether it's been on the field as far as being consistent and in the classroom or just being in, like, he hasn't shown you any consistency so far. So you got to rely on running backs.
I'm running Kiner 10 carries this next game, and hopefully Goodwin's back. He might not be back.
Right, because he had an injury.
Which is an enigma now for LSU.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get him reps the next 2 weeks. I mean, even if Kiner ends up being a good back, you got one guy.
Right. I mean, it was pretty much on Saturday. It was Tyron Davis Price and Josh Williams. That's who you had out there.
When I saw that, I was like, this is not the way I pictured this game. I was thinking we're going to have all these running backs. They went out and improved the running backs because they went and signed two great backs. Oh, man. So, well, I wish the coaches the best. I'm not the sky falling guy.
I don't hope for anybody to fail or do bad.
No.
I mean, human nature, you want people to succeed. No. That's just human nature.
But we pointed out some things that a lot of people have talked about already. Some maybe they haven't. But my concern is to utilize these two games.
Right.
If I see nobody playing differently in these next two games, I'm going to be very worried as a fan. I'm going to be like, whoa.
Yep. Well, I want to see the linebackers out there. What other options to get a linebacker?
Mike Jones. I
thought Strong had some moments.
He did. Yeah. And then the Penn kid was great on special teams. Greg Penn from DeMatha, Maryland. Mm-hmm. He looked phenomenal on special. Give him a shot.
Yep. Because I noticed that, too. It just seemed like the speed from sideline to sideline wasn't as fast as the LSU defenses of the past.
And where's Anton Sampe? Where's Savion Jones?
They were hyping up. Yep.
Where's Phillip Webb?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where are they? Play these guys.
Right.
The freshman from Florida, the defensive end. Play him.
And also, where was Sage Ryan at?
I think he was hurt.
Okay.
But they got to get Sage. Sage is the only hope, I think, for Strong or Free. He could be the one. Give Derek Davis a shot.
Yeah.
He's only a freshman from Pennsylvania. He looked good on special teams, but Major Burns might end up being a good player. He's just not ready to be that guy right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Tolles, to me, is a linebacker. Yeah. He doesn't move well enough in space to be a safety anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Bulk him up, make him a linebacker, but he's not a safety.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not hard to see that. And the core, I know Chip Kelly sees it way better than I do. And you got some. Let's talk about the genius offensive guys you got to face, LSU. You got to face a genius Mullen.
Lane Kiffin.
And a Leach.
Leach.
Those are four of the top in the 10. If you had 10 in the country, those are four of the top 10, including Chip Kelly.
Yep.
And then you got an Arkansas offensive line coach by trade.
Yeah.
Who knows offense.
And he's turning Arkansas around.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you got Auburn, this guy from Boise State. Nobody thinks he can do
Ryan Harsin.
But they put up 50 points the first week.
Yeah, right. You got Jimbo is known for off. Yeah.
He's gonna exploit your weaknesses, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't get easier, but again, I just hope we see some guys given a shot to be the guys in the weak spots or move some guys around in practice this week that might be our Jacoby Stevens like in 19. Remember, he was like a
rush
specialist.
Right, right.
He was kind of a in-the-box guy, wasn't a safety, wasn't a linebacker. Find a guy that can, like, confuse the other team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not just straight up blitzing upfield it's just too vanilla. There's nothing. And you don't play vanilla against UCLA on the road when you're 5-5 the year before.
And just try to utilize your bright spots on defense. And those are your two corners. And I thought B.J. Ojulari looked pretty good out there.
And
so
they missed Dwight McLaughlin.
Yeah.
Who had a great spring. And I hope they get him back soon.
Because he had a good 40 game. He was pretty impressive in the spring. And that was the guy I was really excited about seeing.
And I like to see Jay Ward go back to nickel corner.
Yeah, yep.
Because he's not heavy, man, for safety. He went in the hole to hit one of the running backs, and he got put down on the ground at 175.
Well, and that's the thing, after week one. You know, okay, these are the positions that we need to find an answer for or in that safety right now. That's your offensive line. That's running back. Those are the
and I'm gonna tell you
three
what,
ones.
Avery Atkins did not kill it at punting. 40 yard average.
Yeah, I was surprised. We didn't see Peyton Todd out there punting.
Yeah, I guess him being older. Yeah, I don't know, but we need the punting to get better.
Mm-hmm.
Got the best kicker in the United States in Cade York.
Yeah, which I was shocked we didn't really see him try that 57 yarder, but because he's going to hit that.
Yeah.
So, and you know you have the best kicker in the country. You're just going to have to trust him and use him in those long field goal situations. And he did against Ford in the fog from that distance.
Well, we want to thank our sponsors again: Medin's Collision Center, John Harvey Toyota, and Trezen Care Tire Company. Be sure to support all three of them. And look, our preview magazine, it kind of hurt us momentum-wise, Jace, with the hurricane. But if you're hearing this show and you want to get a magazine, because we don't have in a lot of stores because of the hurricane and because of COVID, go to our website, lafootballmagazine.com. Our preview show has over 310 high schools previewed, all 12 colleges, all the top recruits in the state covered. Go to our website, lafootballmagazine.com. We'll see you on Friday.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.